Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kate Marone, and I am here to share with you some of the efforts that the Maine State Health Department has been working on as we prepare to apply for National Public Health Accreditation, in particular our readiness review that we held. I have no relationships to disclose. First, I want to provide you with a brief background on the public health structure in the state of Maine, and then provide you with some details on how we've engaged our staff, both initially and our ongoing efforts to keep them engaged in this process, specifically our readiness review that we held, and some of our lessons learned and takeaways. The state of Maine has a population of 1.3 million, making it one of the least populous states in the country. About half of that population is centered in the southern to most counties and then along the I-95 corridor, but the rest of the state is made up of a lot of very rural communities. So our public health structure is mostly centralized. We do have two municipal health departments in the cities of Portland and Bangor, but the rest of the state public health efforts are focused through the state public health agency. And to that end, we have 9 public health districts that are outlined here on this map. This also includes a tribal district, which encompasses our 4 federally recognized tribes, which are the Aroostook Band of Mi'kmaq Indians, the Houlton Band of Maliseet Indians, the Passamaquoddy Tribe, and the Penobscot Nation. Additionally, we have each district with a Maine CDC liaison. This is one person who's there to coordinate, communicate policies and programs between the district level and the state health department. And then we do have some field epidemiologists, public health nurses, and health inspectors, and other staff who are stationed at these district offices in the field. But as I mentioned, we don't have any county public health departments. So along with our 2 city health departments, we have over 500 contracts with local community public health partners, nonprofit agencies, for-profit agencies, who help us to deliver those public health services across the state of Maine. Among those contracts, we have 27 Healthy Maine partnerships, and these are specifically targeting some core public health services, including community mobilization and chronic disease prevention. And then finally, we have each of our 500 municipalities are required to have a local health officer who is a local resource, investigates any potential issues, and collaborates with other local officials. So like the other 200-plus health departments that are in the process, Maine is gearing up to apply for public health accreditation by the accreditation board, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that process, as many of you are probably familiar with it, but for the purposes of this presentation, it's important to recognize that as you prepare for accreditation, your organization is going to go through several levels of self-assessment, and the process that we've been taking really involves a building on that step of self-assessment. We started to work towards accreditation in 2010 when we made the decision that we were going to pursue this process, and we initiated that process with some partners, specifically the Portland Public Health Division. They were a FAB beta test site in that part of the process when FAB was still developing the standards and measures. And being our largest of our 2 health departments, we have an invested stake in this process together. And then we worked with the University of Southern Maine Public Health Program and also with MCD Public Health, which is a Maine-based nonprofit agency. And the relationship between the state health department, the university, and the nonprofit is really a relationship that has sustained over the course of these 3 years in working towards this effort. So in order to really try to be successful in this, we knew that we needed to engage our staff in this process. It's something that affects the entire organization from top to bottom. So our initial efforts were to make that commitment and to make it known to our staff. And what we did first was to engage, obviously, our leadership and our senior management team. And once they were on board, we made it known to our staff that we were going down this route. But shortly thereafter, we did have a change in administration. So we had to focus some efforts on engaging our new leadership and getting them on board. And fortunately, we were able to do that without interrupting that initial momentum that we had started, which was fantastic. Next, we had to recruit our champions and identify who in our agency got it. They understood what accreditation was about and was ready to support that and give us their buy-in and help us move in that direction. and start to organize our committees. You can organize your committees in a lot of different ways when you're getting ready for accreditation, but first and foremost, your people have to be on board. We started developing our committees with a Maine Accreditations Champions, and this is also known as the MAC for us, and they started meeting on a regular basis. We had every division in our organization was represented, and they started to do the rapid self-assessment of the agency and start to identify some possible documentation within their program areas. But we realized that it was really important to have some structure and consistency with these groups, making sure that it was an ongoing effort and there was a routine to this so that it didn't fall off the radar. But we also knew that we had to identify what their roles and responsibilities were going to be. Are they supposed to be advocates for accreditation? Are they supposed to report back to their program areas on a regular basis? What's their decision-making authority when it comes to choosing documents and choosing some of the activities that we were going to engage in? And finally, we had a kickoff event, and this was really to discuss what the implications were going to be for the agency as we started to pursue accreditation and prepare for it. And we wanted to, of course, build some enthusiasm around it. So we invited all of our staff, including those who were participating remotely from the district offices. We had virtual participation, and we recorded the event and posted on our intranet so new staff could also watch and learn about why we were choosing to pursue national accreditation. This photo, really quickly, is, if you're not familiar with Maine, this is from Rockland, Maine. This is the breakwater, which is about a mile out from the harbor. And the first time I decided to walk it, you see the lighthouse at the end of the mile, but as you can see, it's slightly, potentially, there's some tripping hazards there. So you have to be careful, and that's what I thought of when I think about this process, that it's a long process. You can see the goal at the end, knowing that it's a cyclical process, but you have to walk carefully and manage your balance as you go along, knowing that there is a goal at the end. So getting staff involved at the beginning when it's exciting and new is one thing, but keeping them engaged over the course of 3+ years is quite another. So we knew that we had to mark and celebrate some milestones. From FAB's perspective, there are 7 steps in this process, the first being pre-application. But for us, the pre-application process has been quite lengthy. And so in order to recognize the hard work that's been done and to show the progress that we have been making, we created our own milestones in that pre-application step. And we were able to use that as an opportunity to continually engage our staff and show them that we appreciate the work that they've been doing. Next, you need to get in the trenches. There are several program areas, dozens of program areas at our state health department, and we really wanted to engage all of them. So it's really important that you get on the ground and have those one-on-one meetings with all of those different program areas, learn about them and what they do, what their questions are, and then share about accreditation and find out how the two connect. Making those connections between the programs that you have in your agency and accreditation and see how they work together and can benefit one another is really essential to getting people on board. Because otherwise, accreditation can kind of be this lofty concept that the programs may not necessarily be able to relate to on a day-to-day basis. So during last spring, we held a second round of meetings with all of our program areas. And this was to really get them back up to speed on where we were, get their feedback on the process so far, and their questions answered. As I mentioned before, identifying your champions is really important. These are the individuals who are really going to help the accreditation coordinator in the work that needs to be done. And it's really important to foster that interest and build your teams. So I would say recruiting new members as you go along is really essential because there are going to be people that come and go, and you want to make sure that you're providing everyone with an opportunity to get involved if they can and if they want to. For those who are maybe really busy but want to be engaged, we found that offering varying levels of commitment really helped keeping them from being deterred to getting involved. So if you want to be interested and involved, you can. You don't have to give us, 20 hours a week. You just have to participate this way, maybe more passively or on a committee that doesn't require as much time. in terms of communication, just like everything else, when it comes to accreditation, you have to over-communicate. You can't do it enough, especially because this is, for most public health employees, a new process, a new concept. And so we have a joint quality improvement and accreditation newsletter that we put out every 2 weeks for our staff, and we try to highlight programs and what they're doing to make it really personal for them. We find that having pictures of their staff really gets people to read it more often. And we also know that that's not enough. You know, staff still have questions. They're not going to fully retain all the information over the course of all these years. So identifying new avenues and channels to keep them talking about accreditation on a regular basis, including it as a standard agenda item on quarterly meetings. And we're also looking to some other avenues, having short videos on our intranet to kind of explain some of the components, offering some accreditation-related trainings and the like. And finally, assess. You know, it's just like every other public health program, you need to evaluate the work that you're doing to keep your staff involved and engaged. And we recently administered a survey to our staff to learn about how they felt about accreditation, their support for it, their engagement so far in the process, what they understood about it, and what their questions and concerns were. So now we have some baseline that we can use to either have a quality improvement project on how we engage them when we get reaccredited, or just to have a reference point for, you know, what happens in the next few years. So while not everyone will be as excited about accreditation as I am or other accreditation coordinators, we do feel that everyone in our agency needs to be at least an awareness level. And so I stole some language from the FAB, Domain 4, Measure 4.2.1 Significance, which is on community engagement. And I just crossed out where it says health policy and put in accreditation, and where it says community, I put in staff, because we feel that just as you would engage a community in a public health policy or strategy, so too should you engage your staff in your accreditation efforts. So for the remainder part of the presentation, I'd like to focus on our specific largest effort that we've done to date and how that really did move our engagement to a new level. We held a readiness review because an internal self-assessment against the FAB standards is a very valuable first step, but we knew that we needed to build on it. The self-assessment, you talk about the documents that you have that you could produce, but we needed to move to a new level of objectivity and bring some outside reviewers in and actually start to produce those documents. And we found that having a readiness review was going to be, for us, the best solution to move us to that next level. So we had three individuals from outside of our agency who provide us with informed feedback on the documents that we had at that point in time. We worked with ASTO, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, to identify those three people who were knowledgeable on the FAB standards and measures. And one of the individuals was from within the state of Maine, but not an employee of the state health department. So they were able to provide some more informed feedback by being familiar with our state system. Our MAC helped us to identify our existing documentation and start to solicit those documents. And all of our programs were provided with a spot on a shared network drive to start to upload possible documents. And then our accreditation coordinator and our MAC started to go through all of those documents and make some selections of what they thought were the best choices and upload those to a password-protected website for our reviewers to look at. The reviewers, after they looked at all of our documents, they provided us with oral feedback through a 2-day review, which we invited all of our staff to participate in and have some dialogue about those documents. And then also they provided us with a report. So very briefly, here's a quick screenshot of the immunization program, for example. We broke it down by all of the different accreditation measures, and they could just move documents over into these folders. And then here's a screenshot from the website that we used that was password protected so our viewers could go in and take a look at all the documents. We found several different benefits to having a readiness review, and of course, breaking down silos is always something that we're always trying to do. We found that accreditation really innately creates an opportunity for you to demonstrate the similarities among different public health programs that you might not normally see on a regular basis. There's an ideal environment for sharing processes and ideas and barriers and challenges and how you've dealt with those. For example, if you have one example of documentation for Domain 4 on community engagement comes from an HIV prevention program and another comes from a lead poisoning prevention program, all of a sudden they have a venue, an opportunity to share that information, and they have very different communities that they may involve in their processes, but they may experience similar barriers and challenges, and they can share those with each other and learn from them. And we've seen this benefit play out time and time again, and not just with programs that aren't related to each other very much, but also those who do work with one another on a regular basis, having an opportunity to have some discussions that they maybe normally don't get to. Following our review, we had a massive to-do list, as you might expect. We thought we knew where our gaps were, but this process really helped illustrate them in a new way for us, and some gaps bubbled up to the surface and identified where, as an organization, we would want to focus our resources and our energies to really make sure that we felt prepared for accreditation. And finally, we realized that by including outside reviewers, it really raised the stakes for our staff and gave it a new level of seriousness. They took it more seriously. They wanted to share and demonstrate their best documents, and they wanted to get the feedback from outsiders to say, here's what we thought about your documents. And so that maybe created a little bit more nerves and anxiety for them, but at the same time, it really did boost it up to a new level of readiness for us. This is a quick graph of our results of our review. We had asked our reviewers to designate our documentation as whether they felt it fully demonstrated, somewhat demonstrated, or didn't demonstrate that particular measure. And the green being good, and the red being maybe not so good, and the yellow being almost there. So this gave us a starting point of where we might need to focus our efforts, and recognizing that the yellow could be opportunities for improvement. These could be documents that maybe weren't complete at the time of the review. Maybe they were outdated or were lacking a signature. Maybe they didn't quite have all the components that the measure was looking for. But essentially, this was our starting point. So following the review, we've put a lot of different things into place based on the results. The first being our performance management system that Paul alluded to earlier. And we have really enhanced our performance management system using the model that he outlined. We've also adopted a new document management system so that we have a new way of organizing our documents that we're going to be using and submitting to FAB for accreditation. We've implemented an idea team system, which is closely related to our quality improvement initiatives, and this is a mechanism that allows us to capture ideas from all levels of the organization for, you might call it baby QI or micro QI or small quick fixes in the program areas, and to share those ideas across the agency. We've developed some documentation practices for our staff, some templates and guidance on how to best capture the public health work that's being done so that we can really show the benefits and the hard work and the outcomes that we're producing. And then the policy review and organization has been ongoing. This really prompted our leadership to dive into our policies and relook at them and how they're organized and the content so that we could get them up to where we really wanted them to be. Of course, we had some lessons learned. We'd highly recommend having your reviewers in person, present for the time of the review if you do something like this. Because of the nature of the discussion, the having two of the three of our reviewers participate virtually really we found to be a little inhibiting, and that our staff, we wanted to make them feel comfortable to engage in dialogue with the reviewers. So unfortunately, we had to have two who were not present. And of course, like it normally does, technology provided us with some issues, so always having the backup technology is essential. For us, this was a missed opportunity in some ways, because at the time of the review, our strategic plan, health improvement plan, and health assessment were not complete, and so the corresponding documentation that goes with those was not available for feedback. And so we weren't able to capture those reviewers' feedback on those big documents at the time of this. With accreditation, you're dealing with hundreds of documents, and so we learned that we need to have a quality control system for how we capture and upload those documents, making sure that you have the right document for the right measure with all the right pieces in place. If you only have one or two people who's doing that part of the process, you're liable to have some mistakes here or there, and every document that isn't the right document is a missed opportunity to get good feedback. So having a way to make sure that you're checking and rechecking, checking and re-rechecking that you have the right document is really a good idea. And finally, recognizing the uncertainty of this process, As I mentioned before, this is brand new for most public health employees, and we noticed that our staff were feeling quite anxious and unsure about the readiness review in particular. So taking the time to brief them on what to expect and what the implications are. If their document is being discussed by reviewers and they're getting feedback, are they going to be expected to implement something new and change that document? Or is this just suggested feedback and we'll see how it goes afterwards? Having an idea of what questions your staff might have and taking the time to answer those and make them feel comfortable and that this process is not just about checking some accreditation boxes, but rather it's about really making sure that we're doing what we can to engage in a quality improvement continuous cycle. So, wrapping up, engage your public health workforce just as you would your communities in any public health program. Your staff really need to be involved in order to make this successful. And for us, the readiness review, it was an investment in time and energy and resources and staff. It's not a simple thing to do. It's kind of a dry run in many ways, but we found that it was definitely worth the investment. It gave our staff the impression that we were definitely serious about this and that we were moving forward with it, and it really brought it to a new level and helped us to clarify exactly what directions we needed to head in order to try to be successful in pursuing accreditation. So really quickly, I'd like to thank ASTO and our three volunteer reviewers. And, of course, our staff and leadership at the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention have been essential. Their support has been invaluable. The Maine Department of Health and Human Services, leadership and our commissioner, and our two key partners, MCD Public Health and the University of Southern Maine. Thank you.